This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As-salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Amma ba'd. We continue inshaAllah with the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. After we've seen last time the argument and the discussions that Ibrahim would have with his people, inviting them to Tawheed and the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and denouncing the worship of idols. So we've seen the arguments he had with them. We've seen how he presented all of this to his father, and what happened with them, and what will happen with them on the Day of Judgment. We've seen him presenting Islam to a king and arguing with him and winning that argument with that king, claimed that he too can do as Allah Azza wa Jal does. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam migrates with a permission or either the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, migrates to the sacred land, to the blessed land, to the land of Asham. And we also have seen there as he heads to Egypt with his wife Sarah, and there they encounter a king, and we've seen the story and what happens with them, and that king gives Sarah Hajar. Now we continue with the story. And embedded in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we'll be also talking about two other prophets, Ismail and Ishaq alayhi salam. So it's in the story itself. As you're talking about Ibrahim, you're going to have to talk about Ismail, and you'll have to talk about Ishaq alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah Azza wa Jal for a righteous progeny, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. And for a long, long time, he didn't have it. A long, long time. Why do we know this? Because he says, alayhi salam, in the Quran, Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahaba li ala al-kibar, Ismaila wa Isha. He praises Allah Azza wa Jal, Alhamdulillah, who had given me Ismail and Ishaq, when? Al Kibar, in old age, and after a very long time. So Ibrahim alayhi salam has a son with Hajar first. And he takes Hajar all the way from Asham, and they travel to Arabia, to Mecca. And Ibn Abbas tells us the story. Ibn Abbas tells us the beginning of that story, and then what happens with Ismail alayhi salam all the way to the building of the Kaaba. So he says, radiyallahu anhu, أول ما اتخذ النساء المنطق من قبل أم إسماعيل. He says, the first of women to take or to wear the mintaq. The mintaq is what? The mintaq is a wrap, a clothing that you wrap around your waist. And it also could have a tail that goes all the way from the back, all the way to the ground. So he says that the first one to take that, to wear that, was Ummu Ismail, who is Hajar. He says, لِتُعْفِي أَثَرَهَا عَلَى Sarah, so that she will cover her tracks and Sarah will not know where she's going. So there is here implicit that there is some tension. There is some tension. But he doesn't discuss what it is. In another hadith or another version of it, it says, وَكَانَ بَيْنَهُمَا مَكَانَ. He says, there is something happened, but he doesn't tell us what happened. So in the Bible, it says that there was some jealousy from Sarah. And it's a possibility. It's a possibility. Nevertheless, right, it was the command of Allah Azza wa Jal that they would move. Because Allah had something great for Hajar and Ismail. They would not be able to achieve that greatness if they stayed in that place. So even if there was some jealousy, and because of it, they had to be separated, and if there was some jealousy, it can be understood. First of all, Sarah waited for a son for a very, very long time. And now she sees that her husband, who now has Hajar, she has a son, and she doesn't. So she's, after all, even if she is righteous, and she is righteous, she's after all what? Human. So here, you know, one of the lessons here I want you, inshallah, to keep in mind, and it's not one of the conditions of righteousness, of taqwa, that a person would be complete and full and perfect. A person can be righteous, they can have taqwa, they can be beloved by Allah Azza wa Jal, but they can still be human. They can still have some flaws in them. So keep that in mind, inshallah, as you assess people. So Sarah, a very righteous woman, and we've seen evidence of her righteousness in the last lecture. When she made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah immediately accepted her dua. Plus, she's married to who? Ibrahim, of course. Alayhi salam, of course, she's righteous. But anyway, Allah Azza wa Jal wanted Hajar to be somewhere else. So, Ibrahim takes Hajar, and with her is Ismail, and Ismail is still nursing, alayhi salam. Huh? He's an infant that is still nursing, and they travel. And I want you here to imagine, you know, one of the things, for instance, you know, you have to understand that we're really not giving these stories justice. Because here we are abbreviating their story in an hour. Like someone's life, like here we say they traveled from Sham to Mecca. You think it's easy? Right? How many months did it take? And probably it's on foot and she has a child. And they're traveling and they're traveling. So I'm saying they traveled. We said this in a minute, but that took them a couple of months for that to happen. And she's holding the child and she does not know where they're going. Who knows? Ibrahim. Allah Azza wa Jal told him where, but she doesn't know where they're going. So they travel and travel and travel and travel until they arrive to the valley where Mecca is, where the Kaaba is going to be. But there is nothing there, no human being. There are no animals. There's just only one tree sitting right there where the Kaaba is going to be. Right there. That's the only thing that is there. Surrounded by mountains, barren land. Barren land. So he goes and she's walking with him. He goes, he puts her there right next to the tree. He puts the child right there next to the tree. He gives them a container of water and a bag of dates. And then he turns his back and walks away. He doesn't say anything. And think about it, was this easy for him? Subhanallah, right? This is his only son. Ishaq comes later. This is his only son. And he had asked Allah Azza wa Jal for it for a very long time until it happened. And now he has seen him. And he's an infant. And he says, leave him there. And he's supposed to leave him and turn his back and walk away. So when we said last time that Allah tested Ibrahim with commands and he fulfilled them, you begin to understand with these commands. This was one of them. Leave your child and leave your wife and head back. Just walk. Leave them alone. There's nobody. So Hajar, she sees him walking away. She says, Ibrahim, who are you leaving us to? There are no people here. There is nothing to eat. There's nothing. Who are you leaving us to? And he does not answer, giving her her back. He does not answer, does not say anything. Then she asks, Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah command you to do this? He says, yes. That's the only thing he says. He says, yes. Then she says, فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يُضَيِّعَنَا. He says, Allah will not abandon us. Huh? He's going to leave now. Huh? That's it. And she's supposed to sit there. So she sits there. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? Of course, he feels for it. So, but he can't retreat. He can't change. He cannot. So he goes, and he goes to a place where they know they cannot see him. Huh? And then he turns and he faces that location, which is going to be the sacred spot where the Kaaba is going to be. And he says, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. He says, Ya Allah, I made some of my descendants inhabit a valley that is barren. بِغَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. Next to your sacred house, رَبَّنَا, Ya Allah, so that they will establish the salah. I want you to see, subhanAllah, how every movement they had was for Allah Azza wa Jal. It's possible, it can be achieved, right? But we need to push ourselves to do it. So he went all this way, Ya Rab, so that they will establish the salah. I'm planting there the seeds of something great because you commanded it. Why? لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Then he prays for them. فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Bring the hearts of some people to them. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And provide for them, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ, so that they may thank you, Ya Allah. So he says, bring the hearts of some people to them. That's why some of the ulama have said, anyone who goes to Mecca and comes back will have some of his heart still attached to Mecca, because you're always long for it. And that is the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, bring the hearts of some people to them. Make them love it. Make him love them, that location. Tayyip. Hajar, now I want you just to think about it and to imagine it. I know you know this story, but do we know this story? So she sits and she's nursing the child, and she has water and she has dates. We don't know how long this lasts, but they could not have lasted for long. Now she's hungry. And if she's hungry and she's not drinking, who's also hungry? The child, there is no milk. Now she can maybe tough it out a little bit and, you know, withstand it more. But he cannot. So he starts crying. And he cries louder and louder. Then he starts, you know, twisting and hitting the ground with his hand. He's hungry. And then he starts making death sounds. The cries that are coming out of him are deep. They are death sounds. Meaning that boy, if you leave him a little longer, he's dying. He's dead. So Hajar couldn't just stay there. She had to go and do something, and she didn't want to see him like that. She says that. Abd ibn Abbas says that she did not want to see him like that. So what does she do? Where does she go? She goes to As-Safa. Climbs to As-Safa. That's the mountain. Climbs to As-Safa. Perhaps she will see something. She looks right, she looks left, she hears here. She doesn't see anything. She doesn't hear anything. Then she comes down the mountain. And when she's in the valley, she runs as fast as she can. She holds her clothes and she runs as fast as she can. That's why if you go between As-Safa and Al-Marwa, you run between them. Because she ran also. Radiallahu anha. She runs as fast as she can to Al-Marwa. Climbs to Al-Marwa. And then she looks left, right. Listens, nothing, still, right? Very quiet, except for the child that is crying, but nothing else. Then she comes down, runs as fast as she can to As-Safa, climbs again, nothing, comes down. So she's going back and forth because that's the only thing that she can do. There's nothing else that she can do. When she reaches the seventh round, when she's on Al-Marwa, she hears something. And she said, قَدْ أُسْمِعْتُ إِنْ كَانَ عِنْدَكَ غَوَاثٍ. He says, I'm listening if you're bringing relief. She doesn't know. What is this sound? I'm listening to you if you're bringing relief to us. Then she looks at where the child is, and she finds who? Jibreel alayhi salam. Huh? She finds Jibreel alayhi salam. She probably has either seen him before, or Allah had planted in her heart that this is Jibreel alayhi salam. He struck the ground with his heel. Right where Ismail was. Ismail was just on top of Zamzam. He struck that ground with his heel and Zamzam started gushing, right? Above ground. She rushed to him, radiallahu anha, and she started to fill her container and trying to collect as much water as she can with her hand. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, رحم الله أم إسماعيل, may Allah have mercy on her. If she was not hasty, trying to collect all the water like that, Zamzam would have been a spring rather than a well. So Zamzam is a well, right? You need to go down and bring out the water. It's just if he had left it and not rushed and tried to collect as much of it as possible, he says Zamzam would have been a spring. But yani, this is what Allah Azza wa Jal wanted for it to happen. Then Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, لا تخافوا الضيعة فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضَيِّعُ أَهْلَهُ. He says, don't be afraid of being abandoned because Allah does not abandon his people. Huh? And this child will build with his father God's sacred house that's going to be here. So subhanAllah, just look at that statement. God does not abandon his people. أَهْلَهُ. Your aim, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, should be to be from أَهْلُ اللَّهِ. The people of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because if you're the people of Allah, Allah will not abandon you. Yes, at time, it's going to be tough like it was for her. But they never lost faith and they never doubted Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal could test you at time, but he will never abandon you if you're of the people of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, she's there with the water. The tribe of Jurhum, there's a tribe, an Arab tribe of Jurhum, was passing by. And they saw a bird circling. And they say, what is a bird circling here? These birds only circle if there is water around. Send somebody to inquire. They send someone to inquire. He says, there's water. So all of them go and they meet Hajar and her son. And they say, can we settle here in this place? She says, yes, you can, but you have no right to the water. Meaning we have rights to the water. We can dispense it the way we think, but you have no rights to the water. You cannot have claim to it. They said yes. And you know, subhanAllah, she liked to have company. She liked to have people there. And subhanAllah, what is surprising as I was reading this story is that, you know, if you think about it, water in the desert is like gold. It's more precious than gold. And you just find there for that tribe, just to show you, subhanAllah, the dignity that some people had. Just find a woman there and only her infant. And she says, this water of mine is mine. And you agree and you say yes. Rather than go ahead and kill her or rather than go and expel her and say, no, this is ours. They say, we agree that this water is yours and we're going to stay there and we'll accept your conditions. They agreed to it. And that's nobility, subhanAllah. That's nobility. So he stays and they provide company. And Ismail alayhi salam grows up. Now, Ibn Abbas continues the story. But before I continue with the story of Ibn Abbas, we of course have the story that you know very well. When Allah Azza wa Jal commands Ibrahim to slaughter his son. So that's an intervening story before what Abbas is going to continue our story with. When Allah Azza wa Jal tells, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, we gave him the good news of a ghulam, a son that is halim, patient, forgiving, kind. He doesn't name him. But he says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي, when that boy was old enough to walk right beside him, بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى. He says, O son, he presented to this son Allah's revelation to him. I saw in the dream that I am killing you, I'm slaughtering you. So see what you think about this. قال يا أبتي افعل ما تؤمر. He says, O my father, do what you are commanded. Inshallah, you will find me to be patient. Now, is this Ismail or Ishaq? Ismail. Now, how do we know it's Ismail? Now, of course, for the people of the book, they think it's Ishaq. But even, subhanAllah, even, you know, within the books or in the book and then the verses that they have, it says right there that Allah commanded Ibrahim, go and sacrifice your only son, Isaac. Huh? They say it's clear, you can clearly see that that word Isaac is added and it does not make sense. Because go and slaughter your only son. Who is it possible for it to be his only son? Ishaq or Ismail? Ismail. You could not have Ishaq and yet at the same time have Ismail and call Ishaq your only son. You have another son. Where it only makes sense if it's Ismail. But they added the word Ishaq there because they wanted that honor to them. Because Ishaq is their father. But it's not, we shouldn't play favorites. These are facts. If it's Ishaq, it's Ishaq. It's Ismail. We're not going to change history because it suits us. So who is it? It's Ismail, alayhi salam. In addition to the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, after he tells his story, Allah Azza wa Jal says, after the story finishes of the story of the sacrifice and what Allah does, then Allah says, وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقَ نَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Then we gave him the good news of Ishaq, also a prophet from among the righteous. So after the story ends, Allah talks about Ishaq. So it's not Ishaq, it's Ismail. So Allah Azza wa Jal shows Ibrahim in a dream that you're slaughtering your son and you're killing him. Why does Ibrahim follow that dream? Because they say that the dream of the prophets is what? Revelation. It's protected from the shaitan. Our dreams are not like that. So always remember this. Our dreams can be played with if the shaitan wishes, or they can come from Allah Azza wa Jal. The Anbiya, their dreams are from Allah Azza wa Jal, protected. So when he saw this, this was a command from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is, in a sense, the weakest form of wahi. Because this is another test for Ibrahim. This is the weakest form of wahi, asking him to do one of the most difficult things. Here is this son that you've waited for a very long time. See, he was tested first. Go and put him in that place. and leave him in Mecca and come back. So that's his first test. Now the second test with this son is what? Kill him. It's not, notice, it's not your son is going to die because he's going to get sick, or someone else is going to kill him, or, I don't know, you know, lightning is going to come and kill him. You kill him. You. See that command. You kill him. How much do you love him? Do you even wish that he'd be sick? If he sneezes, right? You can't sleep. Sahih? You cannot sleep. If he's in pain, you're in pain. Now you tell him, go kill him with your own hands while you watch. So that's a test for Ibrahim or not. And they say it's the weakest form of revelation. Why? It's not like Allah took him to the seventh sky, all the angels were sitting so he can feel the gravity of this command. It's something he saw in a dream. He could say to himself, God forbid, yani, it's just a dream. Forget about it. I don't want to even think about it. Or maybe it's not really serious. Or maybe I'll wait till I dream it 100 more times. And then Allah really sends Jibreel. And then, you know, Jibreel comes next time. It's not that. It's just one dream. And that was enough. So a test for him and a test also for Ismail. How old Ismail was? What? He could be 7. He could be 8. He could be 9. Around, you know, when he started walking, you know. He understands well enough, right? Right from wrong. And he can help his father and he can comprehend. And he says, yeah, go ahead. If'al ma tu'mar. So he says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا, when they surrendered to Allah Azza wa Jal, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ, who put him face down, right? To kill him, he put him face down so he doesn't have to see his face when he's doing this. And when he was ready and he had that knife in his hand and he was about to do it, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا, and we called upon him, يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ, you have fulfilled that dream, you have fulfilled that command. إِنَّ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ, this is how we reward those who are in the state of ihsan. They do what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from him. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ, this is a clear test from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ, we've ransomed him with a great sheep, with a great animal. And that is why we do it today. Subhanallah. So every time that you're going to slaughter for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal during that season, the Hajj season, remember, and this is not a casual story of what he was asked to do and he did it. Now some of the ulama have said, you know, why did Allah Azza wa Jal ask this of Ibrahim? And they said, you remember that we said that Ibrahim is Khalilullah? And remember what that means, that the love of Allah Azza wa Jal penetrates every millimeter of his heart. Every corner of his heart is filled with Allah's love. They say, Wallahu A'lam, they say after he had asked Allah Azza wa Jal for a son for such a long time and then Allah gave it to him, he says part of his heart must have gotten attached to that son. And it's not a sin that this happens, but for the station that Ibrahim was having and he should have, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal should be the greatest in his heart. So Allah wanted to test his heart to see which comes first, the love of Allah or the love of his son. So Allah tested him. And by the way, it is through these tests that your love develops. Without it, yeah, not really. But only through a test like that do you demonstrate your love, and also it develops. So when he was ready to kill his son for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah said, stop, I don't really need you to kill your son. What I need from you is to be willing to do this and then to love me more than anyone else, including that son that you've been waiting so very long for you to have. Now, so Ismail alayhi salam grows up, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, separate hadith, I'm going back to the story Ibn Abbas had, أول من فتق لسانه بالعربية المبينة إسماعيل وهو ابن 14 سنة. He says the first person to speak eloquent Arabic is Ismail alayhi salam. He was 14 years of age when that happened. It does not mean that Arabic started with Ismail. People spoke Arabic before Ismail. But what is he saying? He said the first person to speak that eloquent, prestigious Arabic is Ismail alayhi salam. Meaning he took Arabic to the next level. How old was he? So is this of him or from Allah? From Allah Azza wa Jal. At 14, how will you be able like to come up with so much? So this is from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this tells you also, of course, and this got inherited from him. So people who spoke Arabic after, they learned it from him. So the eloquence of Arabic got an injection from Allah Azza wa Jal. So Arabic, that's the only language I know that was improved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to what it has, it was improved by Allah Azza wa Jal through Ismail and then, of course, the Quran. Now, so he grew up, he learned Arabic. We said he spoke Arabic very eloquently. And when he got older, everybody admired him. And fasahum, meaning that everybody loved Ismail alayhi salam. So he married, and Hajar radiallahu anha passed away. That's what we know about her. We don't know any extra beyond what the story. It says that she passed away, radiallahu anha. He marries from that tribe of Jurhum. And Ibrahim comes and visits his son, or wants to visit his son. Ismail was somewhere else. Ibrahim comes to the house, knocks on the door. Ismail's wife is inside. He asks, where is he? She says, outside, bringing stuff. He's hunting, he's doing this. Ismail was an archer, by the way. Ismail, one of the things that he would do, archery, and throwing arrows, right? He was that. So he says, how are you living? How are your living conditions? So she says, we're in hardship. It's terrible. We don't have enough. This. She complains. So he says, when he comes back, say salam to him and ask him to change his doorstep. So he leaves. He comes back, Ismail alayhi salam, and he says, I'm noticing something different. Did something, you know, happen here? She says, yeah, an old man came and, you know, he asked about you and this and that. What do you tell him? I told him this, you know, all the complaints. What did he tell you? He said to say salam to you and to change your doorstep. He says, that was my father and he was asking me to divorce you. Go back to your family. Go back to your family. So he divorced her. Ibrahim alayhi salam comes again to visit another time. He comes to see Ismail. Ismail is out. He doesn't find him. He finds his wife, another wife. He comes and he asks, how are you doing? How are your living conditions? She says, Alhamdulillah, you know, we are in abundance. We are this, everything. He says, what do you eat? She says, meat and water. He says, may Allah bless that food for you. And it had no grain at that time. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, and Allah blesses it for everybody who is in Mecca, if you're living in Mecca. If you only eat meat and water, if you're outside Mecca, it will harm you. If you're in your Mecca, it will be fine for you. Because this is the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he says, say salam to him when he comes back and ask him to keep firm and establish his doorstep. So when Ismail alayhi salam comes back and he asks her what has happened, she says, a old man came to visit. What did you say to him? She said, I said this and this and this. What did he tell you? Say salam to you and say, establish, keep firm your doorstep. He says, this was my father and he was asking me to keep you. Right? He was asking me to keep you. Now, of course, here a question. If your parents come and tell you, divorce your wife, should you divorce her? Just like Ibrahim alayhi salam told Ismail alayhi salam and Ismail listened to him. Okay? We say what? We say something like what Ahmad ibn Hanbal said. Somebody came to Ahmad ibn Hanbal and he said, my father is asking me to divorce my wife. Should I do it? And he was citing a time when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked his son Abdullah ibn Umar to do so. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, obey your father. So Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, if your father is like Umar, then do it. If your father is like Umar, then do it. If your father is asking you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal to do it, and he or she are pious and righteous and they fear Allah Azza wa Jal and they want the best for you, then do it. If it's for some other reason, don't do it. Yep. So that's what we say. If it's for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla that they are saying that, do it. If it's just for worldly reasons and I hate her, I'm jealous of her, this and that, don't do it. Right. Then, of course, the third time Ibn Abbas mentions a visit, and this is the visit when they're going to be building the Kaaba. So Ibrahim alayhi salam comes and he says to his son, when he meets him, he says, Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded me to do something. He says, what is it? He says, to build that house. Allah Azza wa Jal, will you help me? And he says, yes, indeed, I will help you. So they started to collect the rocks, and Ismail alayhi salam will bring the rocks and will bring it to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ibrahim will put it in place, and they will go around it, laying the foundations, and then around, and the structure would rise as Ibrahim will put the rocks. And then when it got higher, Ibrahim alayhi salam would climb on a rock, and this is what we call today Maqamu Ibrahim. So the Maqam of Ibrahim, which originally was right by the Kaaba. So right now it's not. But originally was right by the Kaaba, because that's where Ibrahim would need to stand for him to be able to put all these rocks right around or all around the Kaaba. Later on, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, they pushed it back so that people can circle the Kaaba more easily. But originally it was right beside the Kaaba. And as they are doing it, they were saying, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Ya Allah, accept from us. You are a Sami', all-hearing and all-knowing. And that is how the Kaaba was built. And Allah Azza wa Jal, tells us in the Quran, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Ibrahim and Ismail are raising the foundations of the house, and they're saying رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, as we say, and they're making also dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah also says, وَاتَّخِذُ مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, consider or take the maqam of Ibrahim as a place for prayer. So it's also part of the sunnah for people after they do their tawaf to go and pray behind Maqamu Ibrahim. Okay? And it is said, by the way, and it's mentioned by Ibn Kathir, that the Arabs, up until the time of the Prophet ﷺ, or a little bit before it, or up to it, they could still see the trace of the foot of Ibrahim on these rocks. They could still see the footsteps. Now, let's see, inshallah, here, if we have covered this. Yes, alhamdulillah, we've covered this. And we've covered this one. Now, طيب. Let's say something about the Kaaba. Now, you've seen the Kaaba. The Kaaba nowadays is not on the full foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? What has happened? You see the Hijr, right? That arc that is on the ground when you're circling the Kaaba, and you come to an area where there's an arc on the ground, right? So the Kaaba is supposed to extend maybe all the way or just slightly before that arc. It's supposed to extend all the way there. What has happened to it is that Quraysh, and this is before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a flood came and destroyed the Kaaba. And so they had to rebuild. Because it's a valley and there are mountains. When it rains, all the water comes and they floods that valley. So they had to rebuild. So when they wanted to rebuild, they said, only bring halal income, halal money to rebuild the Kaaba. Nothing from gambling, nothing from alcohol, nothing from any dirty money, nothing. Only the pure halal money should be collected to rebuild the Kaaba. They collected as much as they can, but not enough. So they couldn't really continue or build the Kaaba fully all the way to the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they had to make it smaller. And they changed it a little bit. How did they change it? Because at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Kaaba had two doors, and these doors were all the way to the ground. Anybody can come from one side and leave to the other. Come from one side and go through the other. So you can enter the Kaaba from one, no need for stairs. Just walking, you can enter the Kaaba and then leave from the other door. What they did is that they've raised it, right? They've closed it, right? They raised it so that you would need stairs to be able to climb inside the Kaaba. And they closed one of those doors. So they've sealed one of those doors when they rebuilt, so there's only one door. And the other door, they've raised it so that you need stairs so that you'd enter it. And they did that so they could control who's coming in. So not anybody who can come in. If we want you to go in, we'll let you in. If not, we won't let you. So there was a control like that. Now, this was the Kaaba at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet told Aisha radiallahu anha, if not that your people are just fresh into Islam, I would demolish the Kaaba and build it upon the foundation of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But what was he afraid of, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? That this would be a fitna for them. Their iman is weak. And he say, what is this man doing? They'll say to themselves, what is it? He's destroying the Kaaba. It was something big in their eyes, right? That if you destroy the Kaaba. Even in the time of the Jahiliyyah, when they wanted to destroy the Kaaba in the beginning, they were afraid. He says, who's going to go and had the axe? Who's the first person who's going to go and strike the Kaaba to remove the old foundations and bring all? He couldn't. Only the bravest among them, you know, in time of Jahiliyyah, he would go there and he struck it with an axe. And everybody was looking, is he going to die? No? Okay, good. Okay, go ahead and do it. So he had to do that. So Kaaba is something big in their eyes. So he said, because of this, because it's such a fitna, I want to do it, but I cannot. Now, in the time of Banu Umayyah, when Abdullah ibn Zubayr became a khalifa and there was a fight between them, who's going to be a khalifa? And they laid siege to Mecca. As ibn Zubayr was in Mecca. And Banu Umayyah, the army, laid siege to Mecca. So there was the army of ibn Zubayr, or one members of the army, made a mistake. The Kaaba caught on fire and it also was burnt. So ibn Zubayr wanted to rebuild the Kaaba now. So he rebuilt the Kaaba according to the foundations of Ibrahim. Because he knew. So two doors, right? From this side and that side, all the way to the ground, and he extended the Kaaba. Right? So he did it that way. But then when Banu Umayyah, Ibn Zubayr was killed, and Umayyah took control, and they did not know why he did this. So the Khalifa first, or the people there, said, no, what did he do? No, return the Kaaba to the way it was. What did he do? So they returned the Kaaba to the way it was, sealed one of the doors, and then raised one of the doors so that you need stairs to go up, and they brought the Kaaba. They shrunk the Kaaba again to the foundations of before, not to the full foundations. When the Khalifa, the Umayyad Khalifa, realized why Ibn Zubayr has done it, he regretted that, and he wanted to redo it again, but it was just too late. And then also one of the Abbasid Khulafa, maybe Harun Rashid or Al-Mahdi, consulted Imam Malik. He says, we know that the Prophet wanted to do this. Should we do it? And he says, ya Khalifa, don't do it. I'm afraid that this will become a toy in the hands of the Khulafa. Anytime a Khalifa comes, he changes the Kaaba. Leave it the way it is. So it stayed the way it is from then till today. And the way that it was built by the Umayyads after they modified it, after how Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu did it. And the last thing related, inshallah, to Hajar radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, here before his death, of course, he said, "Innakum sataftahuna or sataftatihuna Misra, sataftahuna Misra." He said, "You're going to conquer Egypt." And before his death, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told the people, "You're going to conquer Egypt." فَإِذَا فَتَحْتُمُوهَا when you conquer it, فَأَحْسِنُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا be kind to its people. فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ ذِمَّةً وَرَحِمًا because they have rights and kinship. So they have rights as people, of course, that you're going to be, you know, have power over and you have a treaty with, so they have rights. But they also have rahim, kinship. And what is that kinship? Hajar radiallahu anha is from there. Meaning that you, as Arabs, as Quraysh, you go back to who? Hajar alayhi salam. So you have connection to that land and connection to its people. فَأَحْسِنُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا be kind to its people. So remember this advice till today. Because it holds true till today. That this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam holds true till today. Now, this is the end of the story with Ismail alayhi salam. We don't know what happened to him next, when did he die, etc. We don't know any of these details. But we know for sure, for instance, that Ismail and his mother Hajar are not buried in the Kaaba. Because a lot of people think that they are buried in the Kaaba, around the Kaaba or whatever. We don't know where they are buried, and they are not buried there. Right? طيب. Now we're going to, inshallah, move to the story. I said we... embedded in the story of Ibrahim is the story of Ismail and what else? Who else? Ishaq alayhi salam. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in three places in the Quran. And yeah, by the way, I forgot to mention this. One of the evidence also that, and I'll mention two more. Two. So this one and another one. One of the evidence that Ismail alayhi salam is the slaughtered, is the one that Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded Ibrahim to slaughter. That's going to come, inshallah. So I'll leave it. I'll leave it till it comes, inshallah. Don't worry about it. But I wanted to actually tell you the meaning of the word Ismail. So Ismail, whether you say it's in Hebrew or it's in Arabic, because the reason why we know it's pronounced Ishmael or Yishmael is in Hebrew, but Ismail is in Arabic. Yasma'u'il. This is what the meaning of his name is. Yasma'u'il. Il is God. Even in Arabic, il is God. Ilah, il. Even the word ilah, il, you can see it there, right? So il is ilah. Yasma'u'il, meaning that Allah has heard, or Allah is hearing. This is the meaning of his name. What does that mean? Meaning Allah has heard my what? My dua. What is his dua? Ya Allah, grant me a son. So this was Allah hearing his dua. Yasma'u il. Ismail, yani yasma'u il. Allahu sami'. This is what it means. Allah is all hearing, or Allah has heard my dua. Ishaq, it comes from a smile or a laughter in Hebrew. A smile or a laughter. Where does this come from? You tell me now, inshallah, as we go through the story. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِلْبُشْرَى قَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامًا. He says, when our messengers, meaning the angels, are coming to Ibrahim with the good news of Ishaq, but he does not know yet where they're coming, with the good news of Ishaq, قَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامًا. And they say there that he gave them a better salam than the salam that they gave. قَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. They say it's a verbal statement, and it's a nominal statement, يعني جملة اسمية جملة فعلية, but يعني it's to summarize, they gave a salam, he gave a better salam to them. فَمَا لَبِثَ أَنْ جَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ حَنِيثٍ. Soon, when he hosted them, he brought a barbecued calf, you know, a lot of meat. And another one, it says it's a fat calf. فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ وَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفًا. So he presented, he brought food to them. And he says, he brought it very quickly, and it is good food. So he's hosting them. He doesn't know them, but he's hosting them. And he presents the food to them, and they're not eating. Right? قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. He says, aren't you going to eat? Why aren't you eating? فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفًا. He got afraid. He was afraid of them. Why? Because that's not a good sign. On his part, he did what he is supposed to do. Here's the food you're supposed to eat. The good attitude, a good response is for you to eat the food of your host. When you're not eating, what are you here doing? Do you want to kill someone? Do you want to steal? What is it that you're doing? And this tells you that though he is a prophet and a messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, he's also what? Human. And it's fair, you know, for you to be afraid. You see something like this and you be afraid. It cannot not be afraid. It's like asking him not to be afraid is just like asking him not to be hungry, not to be sleepy. This is human. So it's not like if you feel afraid, you say, oh, I don't have iman if I'm afraid. Ibrahim alayhi salam got afraid. And there's a reason for it. And Allah put that fear in us so that we can save ourselves, right? So, فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُ خِيفَ قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ. وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. He says, don't be afraid. And they gave him the news of a knowledgeable son. A son that is going to come your way. In the other sequence, he says, قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِ لُوطٍ. He says, don't be afraid. We have been sent to the people of Lut. وَمْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمًا. And his wife was standing. She's listening in the background. We're standing and listening. فَضَحِكَتْ. So she laughed or smiled. فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقٍ. So we gave her the good news of Ishaq. And after Ishaq comes Ya'qub. So where does the name Ishaq come from? Before they gave her the news, she heard that they're being sent to the people of Lut. فَضَحِكَتْ. They say, why did she laugh or smile when she heard that they're being sent to the people of Lut? Because she thought that they're going to shall destroy them. And she was happy that they will be destroyed. Like you hear someone, the enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal, or an enemy of Allah is going to be killed. What do you feel? Relief. Alhamdulillah, finally it's happening. So when she felt that, she laughed or she smiled. So Ishaq comes from that. Ishaq, the word Ishaq comes from that. So they gave her the good news of Ishaq, and then after Ishaq, Ishaq is going to have a son, and that son will be called Yaqub. She said, "I said, Ya waylata, woe to me, I am going to give birth, and I am old, and this, my husband is also old, this is something incredible." قالوا أتعجبين من أمر الله. Do you say, do you call incredible the command of Allah Azza wa Jal? Is it hard to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal can do this? رحمة الله وبركاته عليكم أهل البيت إنه حميد مجيد. May رحمة الله and His barakah be upon you, the people of the house. Then, in another sequence, it says, فأقبلت امرأته في صرة فسكت وجهها. She came and she struck her face out of astonishment. You tell her you're going to give birth. And how old was she? She's old. She's old. And we'll see Ibrahim's response. She's old. She struck her face. She's like, I don't know where. And he'd be like, what? You know, something like this. What? She struck her face. وَقَالَتْ عَجُوزٌ عَقِيمٌ. I'm old and barren. I'm not a woman who can give birth anymore. What is this that is happening? قَالُوا كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ. He says, this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has decided. Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is his response. He says, أَبَشَّرْتُمُونِ عَلَىٰ أَمَّسَّنِيَ الْكِبَرِ فَبِمَ تُبَشِّرُونِ. He says, are you giving me this good news? After I've reached this old age, what are you telling me? What are you sharing with me, right? He's telling them, فَبِمَ تُبَشِّرُونَ. قَالُوا بَشَّرْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ فَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْقَانِطِينَ. He says, we're telling you the truth, the good news. This good news is the truth. Don't despair. He says, and who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except those who are misguided? He did not despair, but he has almost reached the level or the point where he thought it's not going to happen. That's why he was so shocked when they said, you're going to have a son. He says, I'm so old and she's so old. What are you talking about? He almost forgot about it. But this is, subhanAllah, the difference between us and Allah Azza wa Jal. When you ask Allah, Allah does not forget about it. You may forget. You say, Ya Allah, I made dua for this and this and this for such a long time. And maybe this thing is not good for you and Allah is not going to give it to you. But if that thing is good for you, you may forget about it, but Allah is not going to forget about it. And He may give it to you at a time when you thought, I'm never going to get it, and then you get it. And this is what He did done with Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, I stopped thinking about it. I don't think I was going to get it, and now I'm getting it. And so they told him, just for all our sake as well, do not despair of Allah's mercy. And he says, who despairs of Allah's mercy except those who are misguided? So only the disbelievers, only those who are misguided will despair of Allah's mercy. On the other hand, you should never. Sometimes you don't know how Allah's mercy is going to come your way. Sometimes it's exactly how you imagined. Sometimes it's different. You're asking for a son, subhanAllah. There will be some people who will be asking for children. They will never get children. Some people are asking to get married. Some of them are not going to get married. It's going to happen. Maybe. But what I'm saying that if Allah's mercy does not come to you this way, comes another way. Never despair of Allah's mercy. It's always around you. It's just that Allah Azza wa Jal wants to give it to you in a particular way for you. So, and then subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, where is this ayah here? Naam. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنِ And this is just to testify to Ibrahim's character. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الرَّوْعُ وَجَاءَتْهُ الْبُشْرَى يُجَادِلُونَ فِي قَوْمِ لُوطٍ. He says, when he got comforted, that they're not going to hurt him and hurt his family, and we told him this good news, يُجَادِلُونَ فِي قَوْمِ لُوطٍ. He's arguing with us about the people of Lut. We're going to, inshallah, discuss this next week, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. But he's arguing with the angels about the people of Lut. Don't kill them. Don't destroy them. Delay them. Maybe they can repent, right? So he argues with them about that. Postpone them. Maybe something will... So he's, subhanAllah, a very patient and very, very forgiving prophet of Allah, Azza wa Jal. Now, some miscellaneous things, inshallah, about Ibrahim, just to conclude all of this. One thing, his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says... نحن أحق بالشك من إبراهيم إذ قال ربي أرني كيف تحيي الموتى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, we are more worthy of doubt than Ibrahim when he said, Ya Allah, show me how you bring the dead back to life. He said, don't you have iman? He says, yes, I do, but I want my heart to have comfort and certainty. The Prophet is saying that we are more worthy of doubt than Ibrahim. Meaning, if Ibrahim doubted, then we also have doubted. But I do not doubt, then Ibrahim did not doubt. You follow what he's saying? That is, if he says, if you think that he has doubted or was in doubt when he was asking Allah this, then I am more worthy of having this doubt. But he did not. And this is part of the humility of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam too. And when you're truly great, you're truly humble. If you're arrogant, know that you're not great. Who are people who are, you know, all puffed up and you think that they are, and they have to prove every time when they talk to everybody that they're great, when they are nothing on the inside? They have to, you know, confirm to their to themselves and to everybody else that they're greater than everybody. So they have to prove it. But if you are great, you think, you put yourself below everybody else. Huh? So that's why he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here he says, he alayhi salam, is at a higher level. That's what he's saying, in a sense. Although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better. In another instance, somebody told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ya khayr al-khaliqa, he says, oh, best of creation. Huh? Would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let him say that? No. He says, ya khayr al-khaliqa, oh, best of creation. He says, that's Ibrahim. He says, that's Ibrahim. Huh? He says, you're talking about Ibrahim. So again, that's humility. When you are humble, that's how, when you're great, you're humble. And this is how you behave. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, is teaching us. Another one also is that Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. He says Ibrahim was not Jewish and was not Christian, but he was a Hanif Muslim. Hanif meaning devoted to Allah Azza wa Jal and a Muslim, and he was not of the polytheists. Why is Allah Azza wa Jal saying this? Because both are claiming him. So Allah Azza wa Jal says before it, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تُحَاجُّونَ فِي بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ وَمَا أُنزِلَتِ التَّوْرَاتُ وَالْإِنْجِيلُ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. He says, why do you argue about Ibrahim? Each one trying to claim him to your own. And the Torah and the Injil were only revealed when? After him. So could Ibrahim be Jewish? No. What established Judaism? The Torah. The Torah really is what established Judaism. Not before. But Ibrahim was before the Torah. Was Ibrahim Christian? What established Christianity? There was no Christianity before Isa alayhi salam. So could Ibrahim be Christian? What was he? Hanif Muslim. But someone will say, well, he was before the Quran. We say, well, the Quran is not the book that established Islam. What is Islam? It's the religion of Adam alayhi salam all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them. So Ibrahim was a Muslim, meaning that he had submitted to Allah azza wa jal and he was worshipping Allah azza wa jal alone. So who are the people who are worthy of Ibrahim, as Allah says? Not the people who claim him and they don't follow him. إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ. Those who followed him at his time, وَهَذَا النَّبِيِّ, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who have iman. So you, if you have iman, you are of the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and you are of the most worthy of him. Right? And the connection of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ibrahim is evident. So we said that of all of his children, who's the one who looked most like Ibrahim? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he looked most like him. And also, what did he call his son? Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right? So there is a special connection between him and Ibrahim alayhi salam. And on the day of judgment, not on the day of judgment, now before that. There's something on the day of judgment, but before that, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended into the sky, and he saw all the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the first sky, second sky, third sky. When he went to the seventh sky, he saw Ibrahim alayhi salam reclining against Al-Baytul Ma'mur, the inhabited house. And what is this Al-Baytul Ma'mur? This is a house in the seventh sky, right where the Kaaba is, right where the Kaaba, the earthly Kaaba is, right on top there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every day, 70,000 angels would go to that house, worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and leave and never come back to it. So every day, what? 70,000. And the next day, new 70,000, new 70,000, new 70,000. They never come back. So how many angels does Allah have? Multiply, 70,000, but I don't know how many days. That's how many angels Allah Azza wa Jal has. In another also, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him when he ascended, he saw him alayhi salam with a lot of children. And these are the children who died on the fitrah, meaning children who died when they were young. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the beginning of that hadith, awladul mu'mineen, the children of the believers who died when they were young on the fitrah. So if a person is a child of a believing parents, Muslims, and he dies when he's young or when she's young, where does he go? To Jannah. So he was taking care of those children, Ibrahim alayhi salam. SubhanAllah, see what Allah gave him. First of all, he was right next to the house. As he built the house on this earth, in Mecca, and this is by the way, it's called Masjid Ibrahim in a hadith. The Kaaba is called Masjid Ibrahim in a hadith. So that Masjid Ibrahim, as he had built that masjid, Allah Azza wa Jalla put him right also next to that house of worship on top. And he was longing for children. He wanted children for such a long time, right? So how many children did Allah give him? Oh, subhanAllah, all these children who die when they are young, they join Ibrahim alayhi salam. So if a person loses a child, be comforted. Be comforted at the fact that they are joining Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the beautiful thing in that hadith also is they asked the Prophet of Allah, Ya Rasulullah wa awlad al-mushrikeen, Ya Prophet of Allah, and the children of the non-believers also, were they there? He says, and the children of the non-believers. You follow? So the children of the non-believers, when they die, if they are young, they're still on the fitrah, right? They join. SubhanAllah, right? Because, you know, there's a disagreement, you know, between scholars. The children of non-believers, do they go to Jannah immediately? Are they tested or not? But the hadith say, bi'idhnillah, they go to Jannah. If they die, young. So, of the virtue of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kana awwala man dayyaf al-dayf, the first to host guests is Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ اِخْتَتَنَ, and he is the first to be circumcised. And he did it when he was 80 years old. وَاخْتَتَنَا بِالْقَدُومِ, and he was circumcised with a tool that is called قَدُوم. And it's a carpenter's tool. So it's a rough tool. It's not like a delicate tool. It's a rough tool. I don't know really what it looks like. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the first person to have guests at home is who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. And also the first to be circumcised is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibn al-Musayyib says, and he's a tabi'i, so he says certain things about Ibrahim. So the first of them are supported by the hadith. The others, Allahu a'lam, if they are true or not, they could be. So he says he's the first to be circumcised. He's the first to host and have guests. So these are supported by the hadith, so they are true. The rest, Allahu a'lam, it could be. He's the first person to trim his mustache. The first person to clip his nails or cut his nails. And the first person to have gray hair. So he says, Ya Allah, what is this? You know, what is this white hair that I have? He says, this is dignity. So he says, Ya Allah, grant me more dignity. Right? So, Allahu A'lam, maybe it's true, because this is coming from a tabi'i. So it could be authentic or maybe not. Wallahu A'lam. So it could be that he's the first person to get gray hair, and then what is it? Dignity. So if you're getting gray hair, right? If you're getting gray hair, don't be so sad. Just remember Ibrahim alayhi salam, he saw it. He says, what is that? He said, dignity, right? And by the way, of course, man shaba shayba fil Islam, right? So if you get gray hair in Islam, what does that count as? A good deed. You know that? It's a good deed, hasana. So each because subhanAllah, why? Because you've lived in Islam and you gained that gray beard, a gray hair in Islam. So it counts as a hasana. So it's not something, inshaAllah, to be so disturbed about. And by the way, you're going to be young again, right? InshaAllah, when Allah wishes, if you enter Jannah, you're going to be young again. So you're not going to have that gray hair. The last thing about Ibrahim alayhi salam is that the Prophet said he's the first person to be clothed on the Day of Judgment. So when people are going to be resurrected, being brought back to life, and they stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, will we have clothes on? No, we'll stand up completely naked. Huh? No one is going to be worried about whether he's naked or not, she's naked or not. No one, has, the time to worry about these things. And then people will be clothed. Who is the first who will be clothed? Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that is an honor and a virtue that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to him, alayhi salam. So this ends, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. As I said previously, we don't know for sure where he was buried. Some people say that he's buried in Al-Khalil, a city that is named after him, alayhi salam. It's a possibility, but we have no evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah to confirm it, but only what people are saying. So Allahu A'lam if it is his grave or not. We have no reason to assume that it is, but this is the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and in it also, the story of Ibrahim and story of Ishaq. We don't know much about Ishaq beyond what we said, except that he is the father of Yaqub alayhi salam. By the way, that's one also an evidence that Ishaq could not have been the slaughtered son, or the son that Ibrahim attempted to slaughter. When they gave Sarah the good news, what did they tell her? Ishaq, ومن وراء إسحاق يعقوب. You're going to have Ishaq and he's going to have a son. His name is Yaqub. Now the one who was supposed to be slaughtered was a kid. He didn't have any children. How could it make sense that you gave a prediction and tell him this is Ishaq and he's going to have children? Meaning what? He's going to get older and he's going to get married and he's going to have a child. And then you say go and kill him. Doesn't make sense. You could say, oh, but you promised me that so it's not going to go through. Because there's a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal that he's going to get old and going to get married and will have children. So it means that your command to slaughter him is not going to go through. And if he dies, you're going to bring him back to life. Because your first promise has to be true. How would this be an actual test if such a promise is never given? With Ismail, that promise was not given. He's going to grow older. He's going to have children. That promise was not given. That's why Ibrahim's test when he was asked, go and kill him, that was the test. Because he could die right there and never come back. How could it be a test if I'm going to kill him and he's going to come back? What kind of test is that? Okay, I'll kill him. I'll kill him every day. I don't know. If you're upset, I'll kill him, he'll come back. Kill him, come back. So how is that a test? It's only a test if you kill him and he's not going to come back. So that's also other evidence that they cite that it could not have been Ishaq, because there is a promise that Ishaq was given. They knew that he's going to grow old. Ismail, they did not know that about him. Allahu A'lam. So this is, inshallah, the end of it. Bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal concludes Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq alayhim as-salam. Next week, bi-idhnillah, we'll talk about the story of Lut and the people of Lut alayhi as-salam. Yeah.